This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Force Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are thrilled to be doing some diving into the databank. This is the show where we pick something a little wilder, a little bit weirder, maybe just a little bit of something we are trying to wrap our heads around and discuss the hell out of it for a limited time.
Limited time. We did a first season of this on the Companion app, a great app for sci-fi fans. Check that out if you'd like. But today, Joseph, I've got the helm and I decided to, well, go to a character, a creature, question mark, of that we've discussed a lot in other places. Maybe even had a databank brawl back in the day. I can't quite remember that. But as elicits opinions. And this is what we got today. Today, we are going to be discussing and diving in to Boar Gullet.
Ooh, I'm so excited for Boar Gullet. When you sent over, you know what? I want to talk about Boar Gullet. I was like, yeah, why aren't we talking about Boar Gullet more often in general? Not only on a Star Wars podcast, but in life. I should be bringing up Boar Gullet at least once a day.
As you should. And we all, when you hear that name, you hear Forrest Whitaker as Saw Gerrera saying, Boar Gullet. And that's the way I think it should be said. We'll try not to just yell that all through the show. And look, it's Andor season. So we're asking, you know, hey, what characters might show up in Andor? Boar Gullet is on the on the table for me is showing up.
I think so. I think everything that Tony Gilroy has said is grounded, is real. And you see those great teaser scenes with Saw Gerrera and Luthen. And in the background, I just want somebody to shout like, Saw, we just got more gullet.
Yeah, we're going out to get a more gullet. And what's fascinating is, you know, Gilroy comes in for mostly what we kind of assume is the third act of Rogue One. And a lot of that is him. And I'm sure there was some other work. So who knows? Maybe Borg Gullet was in development from the early stages. So maybe he's like, nah, I don't really enjoy that kind of Star Wars. Yet Moroff is in the background in Andor. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's like, no, bring it all in. I love it. It's bizarre. Let's do it. So we'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, as we always do on the show here, we're going to start off with what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Borg Gullet. And the answer, Joseph, is nothing.
I can't believe it.
I did not believe it. I looked. I double-checked. I thought I might have missed it. I thought, do I not know how to use a search bar? But Borg Gullet is not listed on the StarWars.com databank. Now, to be fair, Amy Ratcliffe does have an article out there from a few years back about Borg Gullet on the website titled Five Truths You Might Not Know About Borg Gullet. Great little piece, some behind-the-scenes information. But Joseph, I want to start right there before we even get to Wikipedia. How does that make us feel?
I am filled mostly with sadness. I feel the Borg Gullet deserves a StarWars.com databank entry. Mm-hmm. I'm also just fascinated because one of the reasons that we started doing shows like Databank Brawl and this one, Databank Dive, is I'm kind of fascinated by Star Wars' official attempt to kind of keep this ongoing internet, dictionary. But it's so vast and different from the entries being either just kind of no-nonsense information to being sort of weird and editorial to then things like this. Borg Gullet, a major Rogue One character, just missing. It really intrigues me, and it makes me think there's some Borg Gullet related accident that maybe there used to be a databank entry, but Borg Gullet has taken that from our minds.
Yeah, maybe Borg Gullet's like, this is what I want you to think. Was I there? Was I not there? You don't know. It's how I operate. So we have to go to the wilds of Wikipedia. Which is a fun place to be. I think a lot of times we spend there. By the way, I'll just put this out there. If you're on the Wikipedia and you see a quiz, just click on it. It might be a username you might recognize. I've been having some fun with quizzes. Here's what Wikipedia says. Borg Gullet was a purple-skinned Maron, or Mayran. We're going to see how we both decided to pronounce that. With the ability to read thoughts, Saw Gerrera used it to torture. That's a key word. Torture Bodhi Rook on Jeddah to ascertain the truth behind his claim of being in contact with Galen Erso. Afterwards, Rook was for a time left a gibbering, I guess is how you would say, wreck. I don't think I've ever seen, I thought of a chicken giblets right there. Unable to speak a coherent thought and acting very panicky. Despite this, Rook showed some resilience as he recovered upon hearing himself referred to as the pilot and was able to recover enough of his senses to escape from Jeddah when Jeddah City was targeted by the super laser of the Galactic Empire's Death Star super weapon. You know what? Obviously, not a lot of things in there about Borg Gullet. So we got a little even more. Borg Gullet first appeared in the 2016 film Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. This we know. The creature was illustrated by Ivan Manzella and was designed by the great Neil Scanlan. And it was sculpted at full size, which had never been attempted before. 2.5 tons of silicone were used in the process. And Borg Gullet was ultimately realized as a life-size 10 by 6 by 6 foot puppet operated by a crew of 15 puppeteers. Joseph, let's just start there. What do you think about that?
That is amazing. I love the commitment. And then I was also reading from the great Hal Hickel that they did end up doing a lot of CGI, that it is a mix of this amazing record-breaking puppet. Yeah. But then they realized the narrative demands of like, oh, it's got to squelch over to Bodhi Rook and invade his space. And the puppet's not doing the great at squelching. We thought it was maybe one tentacle, but turns out it's 87 million tentacles. Exaggeration. Yeah. So I'm fascinated by that process, right? To build a record-breaking puppet and then still need to do a combination of puppetry and CGI. That's just the reality of filmmaking. It takes a whole team to make a Borg Gullet.
It takes a village. Makes me think of Vexus in Rise of Skywalker, right?
Yeah.
Both practical and then kind of delivered to screen as a CGI thing. So that's great. That's some great information there. But again, I wouldn't say there's a ton on Borg Gullet. But we are going to dive on in. First of all, Joseph, as always, there's a tradition in Star Wars to not quite know how to say things. Mayran?
I would say Mayran. Yeah, because I don't want to accidentally say moron. I don't, poor Gullet was a purple-skinned moron. That feels mean.
It is mean. How would we physically describe Boar Gullet or the Mayran in species in general?
Oh, well, nightmare fuel is the first thing.
Yes.
I like that the creature is designed to truly be terrifying. I will probably say the words cosmic horror and Lovecraftian 57 times in this podcast. That's one of the things that I like about the vibe. So I think that Boar Gullet is a squelching terror of the night. If I was trying to be more specific, but not as helpful, Ken, do you know the Marvel comics villain MODOK?
I do. Yes.
Right.
Something going on in the stomach there, right?
Well, it's a modified organism designed only for killing. That's what MODOK stands for. But MODOK is a giant head with wee little limbs floating in a chair thing. So MODOK is terrifying because he's like almost all head and wants to kill. Yeah. So I think of Boar Gullet is like if MODOK was an octopus, because you kind of look at Boar Gullet like that's an octopus. If it was just mostly head.
Yeah. A headopus. Yes.
That's a headopus. A literal. There was the action figure when we were kids, Squid Head. This is literally Squid Head.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a Kraken-like as well. Yeah, no, that's a great way to describe it. Yeah, yeah, and Nightmare Fuel is right, especially when, you know, I don't know, when Saw yells Boar Gullet, you're like, that must be their friend in the back or something. And it is just not what I was expecting.
Yeah, is that a drink order? Is that somebody delivering something? Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, I think you've done a great job describing Boar Gullet and the Mayran species overall. And we're going to get to this in a couple different questions here, split apart, kind of even looking at my notes. But what do you think upon learning that Boar Gullet was, for lack of a better description, more of a proper name? And Saw was not calling for a generic creature because Mayran species, sometimes they were kind of erroneously referred to as boars in one early kind of Star Wars book around Rogue One. But that also kind of counts. It was later corrected to, the species is this, but you can call them boars. But Boar Gullet is specific. The gullet is specific to this creature.
I went on such a journey with this, including looking over these notes, because I had a bunch of thoughts. And then I saw that later in your notes, you clarified a bit of canon that I didn't know that this species seems to have boar is the first part of their name and then a different name, which throws everything into chaos.
It does.
But when I first saw Rogue One, I absolutely felt like this is the creature. It was like release the Kraken, right? It was like, it was bring forth the Boar Gullet. It was like Boar Gullet, again, seems like a Lovecraftian creature, an ancient, unknowable old one, you know, like a dweller of the dark that goes by some legendary but not entirely not entirely pronounceable name, right? And the best that human lips can do is Boar Gullet. That's the closest to capturing the essence of this horrific creature. But then learning that that's this one's name,
yeah,
that there is something about it that is funny in a way I enjoy, where it feels like I thought he was like calling for the Kraken. I thought he was calling Yogg-Sothoth. I thought he was calling forth mighty Cthulhu from the depths, but it turns out Saw was just like yelling for Bob Longhands. That's his name.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, no, and this is in this modern era where Star Wars, just the brand, understands that, you know, Squid Face is not, we want more than just that name. We want more than Squid Head. We want the actual, you know, character here. And so I think some information gets rolled out in different ways. You might miss it in a visual dictionary. You might miss it in a comic. And so, it's interesting. And I'm glad it was this way. I'm glad, you know, Saw didn't go Boar Gullet, and Bodhi goes, what's that? Is that a species? No, that's the name of the Mayran species. Like, I'm glad we didn't have that. Boar Gullet was enough.
Show some respect. That's his name.
Yeah, trust him by his name. So all I have to say, what is the magic of Boar Gullet? What do they add to the legend and the wonder and the magic of Star Wars?
Oh, wow. Well, I think for me, I think I never want to feel like we as an audience have cataloged all of the endless creatures and mysteries across the stars, right?
Right.
I love the idea that Star Wars can go on forever and we'll hear about more beasts that we've never heard of. I love that in the sequel era, you know, even characters could land on a moon that's long forgotten and discover something. Mm. Some ancient forgotten thing. And I love that Borg Gullet has that energy. I love that it's a touch of horror. A lot of us have talked about like wanting like a full horror movie in Star Wars, but horror always pops up. Everything from like the jump scare of the Wampa hitting Luke in Empire Strikes Back to the straight up, you know, kaiju story of the Zillow Beast in the Clone Wars. And I feel like Borg Gullet is of that tradition, adding a touch of horror in a film that has a lot of genres, right? It's a war movie. It's a spy movie. It's a movie about rebellion. But here's a touch of horror. In particular, really kind of, if monsters are like, take something that scares us in real life and then personify it. You know, the fact that Borg Gullet feeds off emotions, takes memories. It's a really taking something that, a concept that humans can be afraid of and making it a physical squid guy. And kind of final thought for me on why Borg Gullet is so magical. See, like I don't get to talk about Borg Gullet enough, so I'm spewing forth. I think the reason that Borg Gullet works to me in Rogue One is that Borg Gullet's kind of a personification of an element of fear. You know, the big bad in Star Wars is always fear, and Saw is dancing on the edge of falling to the dark side, and here's this creature that personifies paranoia, the fear that everyone is lying to you always. So you have to inflict horror on people. Like it's just like the Borg Gullet in the way that Saw uses it to torture Bodhi Rook is a personification of, here's what endless combat does to you. It creates so much paranoia that you can't trust someone you meet. You have to torture them first.
No, this is great. This is why I know you really not just love this creature, this character, if you will, Mr. Gullet, but what it represents. And the horror side of it, the mythic beast side, it works because, again, this is when you think of Rogue One, you think gritty troops on the ground, boots on the ground, war film. And it is. And you think of someone like Tony Gilroy coming in. You think of Gareth Edwards and Gary Whitta and Chris Weitz were trying to put into the story, and it's all there. And I think it's right to remember Rogue One for that. But then in the middle of it is this crazy, horrific nightmare fuel, because it is for me. And how Saw uses it, and who Saw, because, you know, we're not here to make light of that word torture at all. And this is kind of a sillier version of the Force Center podcast brain here in this type of show, but Who else do we know does that? And it's Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that the most in the original trilogy? Leia, along with Tarkin, of course. Let's put some blame there. Han on Cloud City. This is the dark side. It's dark side energy. It's the Imperial energy. And there is Saw, who's fighting a good fight, who's fighting for the good, just cause. But how he does it is always the question. It's always the theme behind him. And I love what you said, that he can't even trust this as the truth. And there's probably some reason for that, that it's a starting point for his journey. But here's poor Bodhi, just like, I'm the pilot. And it's just that this has been done before. And if Saw had stayed alive, it would have been done again. Call for Borg Gullet. We know what that means around here. And we have to get answers, because I can't trust anybody.
Yeah. And it's fascinating to me on top of that is who all is being victimized here. Obviously, Bodhi, but does Borg Gullet comprehend what they're doing? Or is Borg Gullet just like, I'm so hungry for memories and emotions and truths? Like, is Borg Gullet's tummy just aching? Does Mr. Gullet need to be fed?
Does it need to be fed? And it's, switching gears slightly, it's such a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy character to me. That's pretty good. What does it eat? Your feelings. what does it eat? Your truth.
With a pinch of paprika, your feelings and truths, with just a little paprika, is a total Douglas Adams bit.
Yeah, like I always go to the planet of of mattresses in one of the Hitchhiker's books. And
yeah.
Discarded mattresses. Yeah. So it works on so many levels. And I think that's why it brings magic. And I think I've grown to appreciate more Gullet, as often happens around here at Four Center. You and I and Jennifer share passions for specific things, and sometimes it does rub off on the other voices here, where I just love hearing you talk about Borg Gullet, and it helped expand my appreciation of it. And then more and more, as I just saw, becomes one of my favorite characters in Star Wars for what he is and what he represents and what he's also kind of a warning sign against. He's a valuable and important character, and Borg Gullet is definitely part of that.
Absolutely. So that is great stuff.
The Rogue One novelization by Alexander Freed goes into a little more detail about what happens to Bodhi's mind. I was going to pull some clips, little excerpts, but I didn't get around to that. I apologize, Borg Gullet. Bodhi has a little bit more happens to him, a little bit more you get a little bit more of the effects after having his mind read by Borg Gullet. What do you like about learning that, or did you like about that? And would you have wanted that to be more clear in Rogue One, or did it work as is? A lot of questions in that question bucket. Pull what you want.
I remember really enjoying it when I read the Rogue One novelization. I admit I don't remember all of the details, so apologies if I get it wrong. I think I remember it just getting inside how that actually felt. It's one thing to watch it on screen and kind of get like, okay, this is deeply unpleasant. This is upsetting. We see the after effect of him not quite remembering who he is in catatonic. But I think, as I recall, the novel just kind of went into making the audience feel what that was like, to feel the violation, mm-hmm. right? The invasion. Mm-hmm. The one quote I did find is there's another Borg Gullet article on StarWars.com called "Why Borg Gullet Freaks Me Out More Than Anything Else in Star Wars." And it starts with a quote from the novelization that says, "The thing in the shadows repelled him, offended him on a level too intimate for words." That whole book, that article is by Kelly Knox. That whole book is great at making you feel everything that the characters feel. So I remember enjoying that. I think it's great. I always want more details. I would have taken a lot more Borg Gullet clarity in the movie. Mm. I kind of feel like I love Rogue One, but it is gritty. You don't get the weird and grounded in reality, and you don't get as much of the weird side of Star Wars. And here's Borg Gullet trying their best to be like, I'll hold down the weird. And it feels like the movie just wants to, it almost does feel to me like this was always a part of the movie, but at the end, there wasn't a lot of interest in Borg Gullet, and there was the, let's get past that.
Yeah, I have to check that. I saw the link to that article. Kelly Knox is great. I'm sure that's a fun piece there. As far as reading it, I think I love Rogue One, and there's sometimes little things. I look at the film, we talk about the second act and maybe one more beat with the team. And I just remember kind of my initial viewings. Not, you know, again, you're like, what the hell was that thing? Right. Did I dream that? I thought I dreamed that for a second. Like, did Saw really call over an octopus to read his mind? And I don't know. I couldn't gather. Bodhi is played so wonderfully by Riz Ahmed as being a little panicked and a little, jittery at times. Like, he's got that energy to him, which I love the way his choice is in that. It just tracks for this every man trying to do right and trying to get right here. So I was unsure a little bit. So I think maybe for me, when I read the novel, it was one of those beats, along with Cassian came from a separatist family, where it's like, this is great information. I just kind of wish maybe that had been there. But as time passes, I think it all rolls into one. I think it is on screen. You do kind of get it. But it just also was fascinating to know the actual effects and the true danger of Borg Gullet.
Yeah, I remember when I saw the film, I thought it was going to come back. I thought like Bodhi was going to be impaired and there was going to be like a critical moment where he is having a hard time focusing, right? Because it's kind of set up a little, the film makes me feel that way. I won't say it's set up that way. That's the way I took it. I also always was fascinated with the way Saw says, you know, the downside is that one tends to lose one's mind. Mm-hmm. It always felt to me like he's talking from personal experience. And I was always curious of like, was there a moment that Saw feels like, am I lying to myself? I better have Borg Gullet check.
Well, I also thought too that maybe Saw was sampling the merchandise a little bit there.
Yeah, yeah. Like maybe there's another effect of Borg Gullet of like, I just want to forget that. So I'm going to put on some records and call over Mr. Gullet.
Gosh, and that takes us to like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind territory.
Yeah.
But by the way, it could track where he's just like the pain, the loss of Stila. Mm-hmm. And I have that jumbled in my mind. Something there.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, you mentioned up top here, we talk about different kind of Borgullets. This is one that kind of, I remember reading this, but it faded the back of my Star Wars love and mind. The Galactic Empire used a Mayran called Bor Ephraim on Dr. Aphra. Now, this is more from Magna Tolvan, who had the relationship with Aphra and had has some skin in the game on making life miserable for Aphra. But it's a wonderful relationship. It's a wonderful part of the Aphra story. Wonderful in that it's so just not good. It's a complicated relationship. So it got me thinking, do you want to see more Bors, more Mayrans in Star Wars? Or does that steal the spotlight from the prime Mayran, Borgullet?
No, I'd be happy to see more Bors. I always like when there's a tip of the iceberg thing in Star Wars that you can have a lot of fun wondering, and then you get a little bit more information. Mm. The Bor thing, it's Darth all over again. Is that a name? Is that a title? Yeah. Oh, it's a title. Okay, like, well, what is this? Do they, when they first encounter someone and slap the tentacles on, are they also like, well, I'm checking your memories and feelings, but also please call me Bor Ephraim.
Yes. Yes.
Why they're both named Bor, and everyone you met, is it a clan name? Are we going to meet the Denk Socio or whatever? That's the Bor family and the Denk family.
I love it. Like it's a house or a title. Yeah. That it could be a different time. This is more of a doctor. This is more of a, we talked about the Jedi Order stuff earlier this week. It could be more specific. That's interesting.
So I enjoy wondering. I'd be happy to hear more. I think the nature of them to me is kind of like, I would love to see more as long as even more mystery is created, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want to feel like they're the kind of things that, desperate, maybe not great people like, Saw, desperate for Saw, not great people for the Imperial, that they use them without fully understanding what they are or without fully respecting the creature's independence.
Ooh, there's something that the rise of the Bors.
Mm-hmm. The Bors have had enough.
Yeah, because there's something a little bit more in the, I didn't write it down in the Wikipedia, that like the Empire had like three of them on ice. Like they kept them on ice. They brought them out. So yeah, maybe there's they don't use them the right way, and that Borgullet does have kind of a good give and take, a good relationship with Saw and the Partisans, and that yes, feed me more truths. So I wouldn't mind exploring that. Would you want Barnes' question? Would you want to see if there's more expanding the mythology here of Mayrans or Bors? Not only to what that title might mean or what it means, but like one feeds on truth, but maybe one stokes your anger or one is to calm you. Like get Bor flower. Bor flower comes in and calms you down. It just calms you down. It just takes your worries and anxieties and removes it.
Bor flower only puts tentacles on pressure points and releases. Yeah. Gently releases toxins and makes you feel better. Yeah.
Bor acupuncture. And it's a lot of apocalypse.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see, maybe like a High Republic story of like a Jedi who's very in tune with animals, who maybe knows where they come from and is good to them, that kind of thing. I'd love to see a story of like a Trandoshans trying to hunt a Mayran and absolutely paying for it.
I love that. High Republic's a great spot for one.
Yeah. Mm. Bors in High Republic, Mayrons in High Republic.
Yeah, Markian Rose, like, hey, I got this new thing.
They do feel related to some of the creatures that Markian Rose has used.
Love that. All right, we are still rolling here, but we're going to take a quick break and come back and make it all personal as we also rate the weirdness, the wonderful weirdness of Borgullet. Stick around for more Data Bank Dive.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to episode 10 here on the Performance Center podcast feed of Databank Dive. I'm Ken Napsok. Joseph Scrimshaw is with me here, and we are discussing Boar Gullet. We always like to kind of make it personal, Joseph, maybe get a little silly. We've talked about some serious things, some themes, how Boar Gullet looks. But I have this question that I have to admit, I was like struggling. This came into my head, and I was like, you know what? Normally I'd say no, but I'm going to go with it. Joseph, who would you rather take a nap on, Boar Gullet or Jabba the Hutt?
I have this overwhelming feeling that Boar Gullet is just doing what they need to do to survive, maybe not even fully aware that they're causing deep trauma. Mm. So I don't want to blame Boar Gullet.
Yeah.
I don't want to shame Boar Gullet, but I don't want those tentacles wrapping around me and making me gibber. Which, by the way, is an absolute Lovecraftian word that he uses all the time for gibbering things. So that even that is indicative of Boar Gullet's history. So, yeah, I'm not going to nap on something that's going to make me gibber. That's just a general rule of life for me. So I got to go with Jabba the Hutt. I know that it's probably either a great personal risk to nap on Jabba the Hutt, like some Tatooine kid lost a bet and you got to sneak in there and try to nap on Jabba, or Jabba's choosing this, which is probably even worse for me. But at the end of the day, I would at least know what Jabba feels like. And that has been such a joke that Diego Luna wants to touch Jabba. Our partner Jennifer Landa has done wonderful videos about what Jabba truly feels like. if I got to nap on Jabba, at least I would finally have answers for Jennifer and Diego Luna.
And look, one of the things, you know, Jabba, he ain't a nice hut. We know this, but he does at least have provide pillows up there. It's the feel, it's the potential smell that might be the issue here. Ooh. And the thing is, if you're like a partisan, let's say you're getting along with Borg Gullet, and Borg Gullet respects you, you respect Borg Gullet. I could see there be a, hey, just as long as you don't read my mind, can I rest up against you here? And then maybe Borg's fine with that. Or again, maybe sampling the merchandise isn't a bad thing, and there's different, you can set Borg Gullet to different settings. Can you remove anxiety today or something like that? So that could be possible. The threat with Jabba is underneath him is the Rancor. You kick too much in your sleep, or me snort too much in your sleep. Jabba might, you know, middle of the night dump you into the Rancor pit. We don't want to be in the horrible position that Ula and Leia were in. That's not us. Mm-hmm. But Salacious B. Crumb looks like he had a nice, comfortable life while he had it there.
Oh, yeah. And with how fascinated he is just with the tail movement, you know, there's some nights where Salacious Crumb tried to sneak up there and take a nap, right?
Can we just, that's actually one of my underrated favorite moments in Star Wars.
It's great.
It's amazing that in this franchise that we all take so seriously because we should, it's inspirational, but also don't overlook how silly it is. You have a Kowakian monkey lizard studying the waving tail of his master.
It's like it's his favorite gif. He never gets tired of watching it.
It's the best. Well, there's pros and cons. Pros and cons. I think at the end of the day, I might go with Jabba as well. Poor Borg Gullet. Final question here. If you had your own Mayren, we kind of stumbled on this in a way, but what would you name it? And maybe what would you want to use it for?
What do you want to use it for? Yeah. Wow.
By the way, I want to keep in mind, when I say name it, what name would you want to maybe discover it to be? I do want to give some agency here to the Boars of the world.
Oh yeah, man! What the actual follow up name is to Boar?
Yeah.
Well, I made the joke about Bob Longhands, so I'm just gonna go with that. Boar Longhands. I want that to be the actual name.
Yeah.
And then if it was a pet, you know what I think happens with a lot of us? We name our animal with kind of a proper, respectable, or even a fun name, and then we come up with all the little nicknames. So I think I would end up calling Boar Longhands like Boar Boar the Boar Guy.
I love that. If what's the name of your childhood dog in street? It'd be Boar Inky. Boar Inky Walnut would be what we got.
Boar Inky Walnut. I think I'd use Boar Longhands to help make decisions, right?
Yeah. I'm
working on it. Sometimes I'm real decisive. If I'm on a mission and I can see the end goal, then the choices along the way, I can be kind of brutally efficient. But if I get caught in indecision, I get caught real, real bad of like, is that the right choice? So if I could have Boar Longhands just look into my soul and tell me which thing I actually want.
That's actually brilliant. I'll tell you what, I'm trying to think of my boar name here. Boar Inky might be it.
That's poodle, damn good.
The poodle that I had as a kid, Inky. I would want to see if, and maybe this is a little bit what Saw did as well, not to remove any anxiety and memories that he wants to get rid of, but kind of like, what is my truth? And what do I want in the decisions in front of me? Or what do I want to be as a comedian on stage? Because I sometimes struggle with what voice am I trying to put up there? What's truly inside of me? And maybe you sit down with Boar Inky and you plug in and you come out with a little bit, you know, it's a little bit of a spiritual journey into the desert to find out what you really want.
Now I'm picturing Boar Inky and Boar Longhands are like, they're on a couch with glasses and like, talk through your feelings.
Yeah.
Let's see what you really want.
I think that'll be it. You know, that's the question we all get asked. I get asked often, what do you really want? I don't know. More inky. Figure it out. All right. This has been fun. But mm-hmm. the biggest reason we're here, as with all of life, we must rate things. We must rank and rate. So we're going to rate the wild and weird factor of Borg Gullet. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, Lobot. So maybe one day we'll just do Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give Borg Gullet, Joseph?
I am going so very high. Mm-hmm. I'm going 9.5 out of 10. Borg Gullet, like, yeah, design-wise, it's the giant wet squid head with tentacles that suck feelings. Like, it's all made up out of parts that we recognize, but the overall effect is this creepy, squelching nightmare that we don't fully know or understand. Super weird. Borg Gullet, one of the only things holding down the Star Wars wild and weird factor in the otherwise great but very grounded Rogue One. I'm only taking the 0.5 off of a perfect 10 because we had a long run of tentacles in Star Wars. I think we need a little bit of a tentacle break that took the edge off of Borg Gullet that we'd just been to Tentacle Town with the Wrath Star.
Love that. Yeah. Oh, the Wrath Star. Yeah, that's a great call. So I'm with you. I was thinking this might be a 10 out of 10. And for a lot of reasons, maybe that's the right ranking. But I'm going to go 9 out of 10 only because it's when you look in the context of Rogue One, it's a 15 out of 10.
Right.
But when you look at the bigger picture of Star Wars, this fits right in. It's not as weird as you'd think. It belongs. It's a celebration of so many of the elements of the creature world of Star Wars that it is more normal than you want to think. But at the same time, it's pretty weird. So 9 out of 10 for me.
That is, I think, a good call. We've gone very high when it comes to Borg Gullet.
We should, because Borg Gullet is something special. All right, my friends, that is Data Bank Dive for this week. We love diving into the Data Bank. We'll be doing some more. We got a Star Wars rank coming up soon, too, as well. It's our Sunday program, and usually a little lighter, a little more fun. Not that we don't have fun the rest of the time, but I think y'all know what I mean. We love kind of looking at all the wild and weird sides of Star Wars. That's what we do here. You can find all things that we do by just simply going to our Twitter feed, if you want to, at Force Center Pod. There you'll find links to our Patreon page, other shows where you can get merch, all that stuff, a nice link tree and all that good thing. All right, my friends, that is it for me. I'm Ken Napsok. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Joseph, where can they find you? What's weird in your life?
You can find me on almost all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And that's the weird thing, that I'm still on lots of old social media. I think I have a Peach account. Anyway, find me on social media at Joseph Scrimshaw.
I do as well. And follow me on Vero. No, seriously, follow me on Vero. We'll see you next time. This was Force 7.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.